Bless the Lord. I think the choir heard that word from David. It was good for me to be afflicted.
Amen.
And here they're singing, thank you, Lord, for every mountain. Thank you for every valley. Thank you for every trial. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because it all works in us to bring us to that place where He wants us to be. And that fits so well what I want to share with you this morning. Though I didn't mention this to Brother Steve, he seems like always picks out the very song that we need to accompany the word that is spoken. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while on a subject that I think is vital to us, because I want to talk to you about the marks of Christian maturity. There's a time to grow up. All things, it seems, are living things, are in a process of growing in some way. Some things grow in stature. Trees grow in stature. They never grow in wisdom because they're trees. They grow in stature. They grow up to be bigger and wider and stronger. And they can withstand winds and storms up to a point. But I believe that God is wanting us as His people to grow up. Amen. To mature, to become strong in the Lord and in the strength of His strength. You'll find in the Scriptures that growth is regarded as normal for us human beings, and particularly those of us who are Christians. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, we get a little bit of insight into the way Jesus was developing as the Son of Man while He walked here on the earth. And in verse 40 it says, "And the child Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him." Then again in verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man." So that Jesus was growing in four different areas and developing in four different areas while He was living in this world. Normal and balanced growth seems to be in the area of stature, physical growth, wisdom, intellectual growth, insight, understanding, knowledge, favor with God, which is spiritual development, and favor with man, which means He was growing socially as well. And I believe it is God's plan for us to grow in a full-orbed way. We ought to be growing physically. Some of us have grown a little more physically than we intended to. Maybe it's because we've given more attention to food. Maybe that's why, and less attention to exercise or something of that sort. But growth, particularly for us who are human beings, we tend to grow rapidly until we're probably 17 or 18 years old. And I noticed one of my grandsons who came to have a Thanksgiving dinner with us, and he's 14 years old. He wears a size 14 shoe. He stands 6 feet and 3 inches tall. And that just happened overnight. It just like all at once he jumped when he got to be 12. He just exploded, and he's grown up and has grown strong, and his voice has deepened to where it's actually as deep as my voice is, and I'm getting to be an old man, and it seems to get deeper all the time. But he He is just a young person, but he's growing up and developing, and what a wonderful thing to know that he's also growing intellectually. That his mind is also grasping things, and he is interested in everything, it seems, in all kinds of sports. And maybe one girl that he's sort of looking at now a little different than he did a year or two ago. He's looking at things a little different because he's growing up. He is maturing. And he is also, in the case of Jesus, that's the way he was growing. That intellectual growth toward maturity, I believe, is measured by the way a person responds to different kinds of situations. We do not expect little children to make wise decisions. Experience is the element lacking in the young that keeps them from always making good and wise decisions, even though they may be interested in all kinds of things. They may not have the experience to always have good judgment. But given time and experience on a broad level will help any one of us to increase our ability and become better and to make better decisions. The Scripture says that Jesus grew, that he grew and seems to have had knowledge and wisdom beyond his age, because at 12 years old we saw him among the more intellectuals in the temple. You remember how he sort of ran off from his... he didn't run off from them. They sort of ran off from him. They suddenly looked around at the end of a day and found out he wasn't there anymore. And sometimes it seems that we do the same things. We kind of go without really touching him and without seeing him. And then once we start looking for him, we might find him where he would normally be, as he would be in the house of God. And maybe that's where we left when we left the house of God. Maybe we sort of left him too. But at any rate, Jesus was there. He seemed to have been interested in everything and everyone around him. He gained knowledge through his relationships with God and with man. He was not a hermit, not an antisocial. He related to people. Older people were astonished by the questions that he asked and by the answers that he gave. In Luke chapter 2, verse 47, it says, "Everyone who heard him," this is when he's 12 years old, "everyone who heard him," doctors of law, the scribes, the priests, the intellectuals of his day, the theologians, they heard him, and the Scripture says, they were amazed at his understanding and at his answers. I have a feeling that those of his own age might not have been able to fully understand him, but I believe they liked to be around him. I think Jesus, as he was growing up, was not a loner. Because you can see that he liked people. I think young people liked to be with him. I don't think he was viewed as a nerd in his day. No, I think even though he knew a lot, he was fun to be around. I think he played games just like other children did. Oh, do we have any scripture for that? No, except we know he was growing up normally. He was growing physically. He was growing intellectually. He was growing in favor with God, which means he was growing spiritually. He had an interest in spiritual things and was developing in a spiritual manner. And also, I believe he was well liked because he was growing in favor with man. Maybe he was growing in favor with children. Why not? I think he was. I think he was growing in favor with those who were his age. as well as in favor with some that were far beyond his age, because he had a spiritual development that was certainly beyond his years, and in knowledge he seemed to know more than the ordinary person. Jesus grew physically, intellectually, spiritually, and socially. He was maturing. And we can see his maturity in the way he handled situations of all kinds. Whether he was talking to his disciples, healing a sick person, doing a miracle, stilling a storm, which he began to do as soon as his ministry started. He began to do all kinds of things, but even if it was feeding the multitude, you won't ever see a time when it seemed that Jesus got frustrated. No. He was always patient. He never reacted to any kind of a situation. Jesus was not a reactionary. He was a person who responded according to the will of God. I'd like to grow up to be like Jesus, wouldn't you? Well, that's what he had in mind. When he saved us, he had in mind that we would grow up to be like him, that we would mature, that we would become strong. Amen. That we would become wise. That we would become spiritual. And that we would become social. Not an antisocial recluse. Well, you have two people growing at the same time. They were born only 6 months apart. One was John Baptist. You remember that first Baptist? John the Baptist. And Jesus, they were cousins. They're growing up at the same time. John the Baptist, he was an antisocial recluse. I mean, he did not talk to anyone. Well, I wouldn't say he wasn't spiritual. He was certainly a spiritual person filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, but he was not growing socially. And so John was sort of lopsided. He was growing up spiritually, and he was growing certainly with some degree of knowledge and understanding, and he was probably growing physically, but socially he was not developing at all, because he had chosen the life of a recluse, of one who was absolutely antisocial, and he did get frustrated. Amen. And he did become rather filled with anxiety on certain occasions, because he was not maturing the same way Jesus was maturing. Have you ever heard the expression, you know, that person is so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good? Have you ever heard anything like that? They're so focused on only the spiritual things that they can't see the angel tree. Amen. Oh me, or something. No, see, we can't. Some people don't see because they get so involved in a certain area of development in their life, and they may be very studious where the Word of God is concerned. And they may have a great deal of knowledge along that line, but they may not be applying the principles that they have learned. And you couldn't say they're growing in a full-orbed way. Amen. We want to be spiritual, but we also want to be social. And it's normal to do that. You probably know that some people are more social than others. You've already, I'm sure, observed that my wife is the social person in my family. I mean, I have to make myself reach out. Because I know it's the right thing to do, I reach out. My wife doesn't have to make herself reach out, because she's just a very social person. And maybe I'm I'm bringing up the spiritual side of the family, but I don't believe that to be social is necessarily an indication that one is not spiritual. I think you can be both and should be both spiritual and social in our attributes that we look at when we begin to place value on a person's growth toward maturity. I'm about to get through this introduction. It won't be long now. But as the song we were just singing indicates, one cannot know his or her level of maturity or development unless or until they go through a difficult and hard place. Because character is always developed in the crucible of trials, in the fire, in the testing fires that will reveal the quality of one's growth and development. Amen. The trials are absolutely essential to maturity. We cannot ever reach any kind of maturity without the trials. Amen. You got to have that. Got to have it. We don't like it. It doesn't feel good. We don't want to be frustrated and confused about things, but they're all a part of our growth and development, and the only way we can reach full maturity is to experience those kind of things that happen in life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed." He's saying it doesn't feel good, but it's necessary. It's not something we welcome unless we understand that this is something that is going to bring me into a deeper level of maturity. And if you don't want to be mature, you're not normal. You've got something wrong somewhere if you don't want to be mature. Now, it is a little bit more difficult. Have you ever noticed how our children, as they're growing up, and they get to the stage where they don't need to sit on mother's lap, but want to? They want to do that because it kind of feels secure there. But they want to grow up, but at the same time, they want to be babied. I mean, that seems to be normal, but no one, and every mother would enjoy that, but she does not want to baby that person, that child, to the point of keeping them from growing up. She doesn't want to protect them to the place where they never have a problem. Because if they never have a problem, they'll never truly know the grace and mercy and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have that. We've got to experience that. And Peter says, this test comes to us. These tests come to us, not that God might be able to find out some things about us. You see, trials don't come in order for God to determine the quality of our faith or our development toward maturity. God knows everything. You don't get a test because God is trying to find out something about you. He knows everything about us. He knows the level of He knows our progress toward maturity. He knows all of that, but we don't. And the test comes in order that we may begin to understand the quality of our faith and the position that we now are in as we are moving toward a goal that we call the goal of Christian maturity. Amen. And so the trial has to come for that purpose, not that God might know something about us, but that we might know something about ourselves. And I wouldn't be at all surprised that some of us have not learned some things about ourselves over the past 6 months that we didn't know. Amen. I've learned some things about myself over the past 6 months that I didn't know. Have you? Has anybody got a lesson in the past 6 months? Have you discovered some things about yourself? And not only so, but I have also learned some things about others that caught me by surprise. Because that's what tests do. It reveals qualities about ourselves that cannot ever be seen until we're observed in the way we respond to certain situations. And to our surprise, often that person that we thought was weak was the one that was strong. And the one we thought was strong was weak. And the one that we thought could endure, we found were not able to endure the test. While others that we thought might fall by the wayside got strong in the middle of all of it and stood up and became stronger and stronger because they made right choices and right decisions in the midst of the trial. Well, yes, hallelujah. I'm going to brag on you because I believe that this service this morning indicates some things. It indicates there's a good body of people here that are strong in the Lord and in the strength of His strength and are not easily swayed by things that happen. Amen. They're strong in the Lord and mature enough to weather the storm. Yes, hallelujah. I want to give you some applause here this morning. Glory to God. We're reaching toward maturity. The way we respond to trouble has to do, I think, with the vantage point from which we view that trouble. Amen. Are we under the problem, or are we on top of it? Problem's there. There's no question about that. Many of us deal with the same problem at the same time. Some are under the problem and it's pressing the life out of them, while others, though the problem is there, they're on top of the problem instead of the problem being on top of them. They have learned something that the Apostle Paul gave us a little insight in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let me read a little bit to you here. I copied some scriptures off in different translations. Over in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 11, in the NIV it says, "It was He who has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists." I like what the Amplified Version says. I think it's there. It says, some to be traveling missionaries. For that word, evangelist, because that's what an evangelist is. An evangelist is a traveling missionary on a mission. And the mission is to bring the light of truth to those who walk in darkness, whether they're here in America or whether they're in Africa, India, or someplace, some other place in the world. But he says, God, Jesus gave us, the church, these gifts. Some pastors, shepherds of His flock, and teachers. His intention was for the perfecting, That is the full equipping of the saints, His consecrated people. I've switched over to the Amplified Version right there. That they should be the work, do the work of ministering toward building up, not tearing down. Amen. The mission of those who have been called by God to ministry in the local assembly, the mission of the eldership is to build up. Build up the body. Challenge them to reach out for maturity. Challenging them to grow up in the Lord and offering them the equipment and offering them the plan for spiritual growth and development. And it is available. Amen. The plan is available and the power to do that is right here. Right here in this body. Through the teaching and through the examples. Amen. And through the ministry of the Word at whatever level. You have the opportunity to grow up. And in fact, what will happen as you're walking in the Lord, as you are walking with Him and developing as His Word is received and assimilated, because it's got to get, the Word has to get from here down into here. Brother Billy's just ahead of me. It's got to get, because he's with me here, right from here down into here. And that's where maturity begins. It's not in the head. That's a part of growing. Knowledge and understanding is a part of it, but it has to get into the Spirit before you become the strong person in the Lord. And instead of living under the problem, you live on top of it. Amen. You are not under its control, it's under your control. Why? Because you know, according to that second chapter, you know that you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So the vantage point from which you view a problem will determine the way you respond to that problem. Amen. If you see yourself in the heavenlies, then you're looking down on the problem. And if you see yourself under the problem, you're trying to look out. You're trying to get out from under it. But God has set ministries in the church for the purpose of helping us to grow up. If you read on through this, that's one of the phrases you'll find. He wants us to grow up. And people who are grown up in the Lord are the people that have been able to get out from underneath the problem and to get on top of it, where they can see what to do in a given situation or what not to do. Sometimes the thing to do is simply stand. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us," verse 6 says, Ephesians 2, verse 6, "seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. But this process begins here. It's not just, you see, this Christian life is not just simply coming forward on a Sunday morning and praying the sinner's prayer. That's just the beginning of it. And the reason there are many who've done that but are not growing. And in some cases, they're like the wasp. The wasp, they tell us, is larger when it is first born than it is at any other period in its life. I don't know if that's true. I'm not a scientist. I'm just reading what I read somewhere. The only thing I know is what I read. Well, maybe a few other things, but I can tell you that God wants us to grow up. Now, here's an interesting part of the Scripture that I want to call your attention to. It's found in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, I know among all these Scriptures that I have down here that someplace I have that Scripture. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and I have to hurry here because my time is getting away from me, but there are still nurseries back there, but our children are in here this morning. Listen to this, children. In Hebrews 5, the writer deals with a problem among God's people that we see in today's church. It is the problem of immaturity and spiritual regression. Progress means to move forward. Regress means to move backward. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, concerning this, the writer here says, concerning this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even lazy in achieving spiritual insight. You know what you can get lazy and in your spiritual development? You can get lazy. You may have at one point been reading the Bible through once every year. You're not doing that anymore. At one time you were attending every service of the church that you could possibly get to because your desire was to grow and be strong and you wanted to be mature. But he says, here, he says, you become lazy in achieving spiritual insight. And even though by this time, listen to this phrase right here, a couple of them. By this time, you ought to be teaching others. By this time, you should be teaching others. You actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. You've come to need milk, not solid food. Now, if they've come to be that, that implies that at one point they were beyond that place. There was an indication of spiritual regression here. They'd started out well, but somewhere they got tripped. Some situation tripped them and they fell down, and instead of getting back up like a mature Christian and going on, they decided to crawl around on the floor like babies. And had become such that now they couldn't handle meat. They had to have milk. Had to have milk. Even though they should have been able to take meat, they were not able to do that because through some quirk, through something that had happened. Now he said, everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought, and action, for he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet, just gooing, not able to make any sense anymore because he's gone backwards. Well, if that wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't be concerned at all about this, but that's what he's dealing with here. Now, you know, we dealt with that, not last Sunday, because I wasn't here last Sunday, but Sunday before last, we were dealing with that very issue in the Gentile church at Ephesus, where he says, you don't love me like you did at the beginning. We don't have the same kind of relationship we had there. Now he's writing to the Hebrew Christians. And he's saying the same thing that had happened in the Gentile church among the Gentile believers had also happened among the Jewish believers. And they had regressed to the point where they couldn't take meat, where they should have been teaching, and they were still gooing like babies. And it hadn't always been that way. Amen. If you want to mature, you have to keep in touch with the things that mature us. Amen. You have to keep in touch with, you have to develop a meaningful, living, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not enough simply to have gone forward at some point in time and asked Jesus to come into your heart. He did that. And I'm not talking about your security as a believer here. I'm talking about your growth and development. I'm talking about reaching the place where you can be a blessing. And I'll tell you, one of the quickest way you will determine what your level of maturity is, as far as your relationship with the Lord, it's why do you come to church? For your sake or His? Amen. People come to church and say, the reason I come to church is because I love the worship. It just does something for me. Well, it's supposed to do something for Him. Thank God if it does something for you. But that's really not why we go to church, for what we're going to get out of it. We come to church to worship the Lord because of what He's going to get out of it. Amen. That's our purpose. We come to worship God. We come to glorify Him. We come to give our offerings in order that we might see the work of the Lord established, not only here, but wherever we're able to reach. Is anybody getting any good out of this at all? Hallelujah. I tell you, I want to grow up, don't you? And I know that that's what's happening. We're going through a maturing process here. And a sifting process. And whether or not you're large enough to remain in the sifter will depend to a great extent upon your level of maturity. Because He's not sifting out that which is good. He sifts out that which is too small and is of no use. Amen. I'm going to stop. Not because I'm finished. I may work on this again next Wednesday night or next Sunday. I don't know when. But I want to grow up, don't you? And I want to recognize it when I see it, and I'm seeing people that I sense in my spirit are growing and developing and are not being shaken by the winds of adversity. Amen. But have remained strong in the Lord. And I don't know all of you that well because I've only been here a few months. But I like what I'm seeing, Pastor Parkey. But he said, you made a mistake. You called him pastor. That's what he does. He is my brother, but he pastors. Amen. That's his call. That's what he's doing here in this body. He's shepherding a flock of people that I think all of us are saying, hallelujah. Look what's happening. Look what's going on here. God's doing a good thing in this place. Hallelujah. He's doing a good thing in this place. It was good. It was good for us to go through a trial. Well, let's stand up and praise the Lord. Let's stand up and give glory to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Turn to somebody and say to that person, we're growing up. Hallelujah. We're growing up. Amen. We're growing up in the Lord. We're becoming mature in the Lord. And that's a good thing. Amen. Say to that person, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Say it again. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. It's not all bad. This is good. that we're growing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.